The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55KRC, The Talk Station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, Cincinnati's only gun talk show. Join us. We're going to explore the topic of firearms and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. Now here's your host, John Johnston, on 55KRZ, The Talk Station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. I'm your host, John Johnston's Beard. As always, check out ballisticradio.com and facebook.com Ballistic Radio. Co-hosting with me tonight is Mr. Andy Ulrich. How you doing, Andy?
Pretty good. It's always a fun time on Sunday evening.
You like how I just snuck that in there? See, folks, you're really missing something if you don't check out Facebook, because the conversation just never stops there. Anyway, tonight, very, very pleased to say we'll be talking with former Navy SEAL and owner of Trident Concepts, Jeff Gonzalez. Jeff is a decorated and well-respected member of the special warfare community, as well as a best-selling author. He's seen firsthand the success that high standards and training can bring, as well as the ramifications of failure. And tonight we'll be talking about both. So, and in other exciting news, we've got more media that's being added to the Facebook page recently. So camera stuff. I'm going to be taking photos of Chris Costa, who was last week's guest, this Tuesday. But anyway, so when I go to the range, it's really easy for me to set up scenarios or drills that I know I will do well at. And actually, it's pretty fun. But I'm not getting that much out of it. And I'm not really accomplishing that much. That's why when I go to the range, I set high standards for myself. I work on problem areas and keep trying to grow as a shooter. If you're trying to grow as a shooter, then the 50 rounds you shoot every couple of months, where the only standard you're held to is not hitting the ceiling or the target carrier at where you're at, then you're probably not getting that much out of it. And Jeff is pretty well known for having pretty tight accuracy standards in his class. But I have probably spoken enough for right now, and as much as I like hearing myself, I'm sure y'all want to talk to Jeff, so I'll get him on the line. We are speaking with, hopefully, Mr. Jeff Gonzalez. Jeff, are you there?
I sure am.
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Thank you very much for taking some time out of your Sunday to come and talk to us. I certainly appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it should be great. So, if you don't mind, for those that are not familiar or aware, can you talk a little bit about your background?
Sure. I spent the better half of my adult life within the Navy, working as a SEAL both on the East Coast and the West Coast as an operator, as an instructor, and was fairly lucky to accomplish quite a bit in my career. So I've felt I've always been pretty lucky to be where I'm at.
Yeah, that's great, and thank you for your service. So the SEALs are kind of known for having pretty difficult standards to reach, and you started a company, Trident Concepts. You mind talking about that a little bit?
Not at all. That's a funny story, and we probably don't have enough time to go into it all. But I will tell you that one of the prime directives that we had set forth for the company was that there was a group of us at the time that just kind of sat back and said, you know, we're not really happy with what we see out there in the industry. We've been very fortunate to have traveled to all different shooting schools and training areas, and we just kind of sat down and said, well, you know, probably just need to do this on our own, just create the program and the curriculum and kind of just set it into motion. And at first it was sort of a joke, but I obviously took it pretty seriously, and we are here today, 10 years a little bit over 10 years from now, or I should say we opened our doors about 10 years ago. And, one of the things that I've always, I do the same brief in every class is I feel like the success that we have generated is largely due to three main points, if you will. Everything that we're putting out is based off battlefield experience, whether through my own, the rest of the staff, or the community at large. So, you know, it's fairly proven, and we're very happy with it. And then the second one, which is the one that's kind of tied into the show today, is that, we're very, very keen on standards. I would say that, we really take standards seriously, and the students get a really good exposure to that. Some, it's a shock. Others, it's what they came for. But, you know, we hold everybody that we come into contact with to a very high standard. And we set those out pretty clearly in the beginning of the class so everybody knows what's expected of them. And, you know, some people are able to meet them and some people aren't. You know, the third one is just kind of our take on how we see things, which is we really don't care. I don't care where you come from or what you do or what uniform you wear. All I care about is performance. And if you're not meeting the performance standards, the polite way of saying this is to shut up, open both ears, and you know, do what we're asking you to do. And the not-so-polite way is probably not editable for a show.
Well, you know, Costa did that last week, and I'm still here. But probably 2 weeks in a row would be bad for me. So just for the listeners, though, that may or may not be aware of what we're talking about when we're talking about standards. We got about 2.5 minutes before the break. Can you broadly define that and then sort of narrow it down?
Yeah. Well, you know, I should say in 2.5 minutes, maybe not. But basically, there are a litany of different standards that we use. And what a standard means is that we've identified a training objective, something that we want to achieve. And then we've established a measurable means to determining if we've met it or not. And, you know, that's pretty much in a nutshell what a standard really is. You know, basically there's a task that you need to perform to a set of conditions, and then the net result is that it's measured, you know, success is measured or failure is measured by the standard that we create.
Okay. And that, it seems like such an easy concept, but for whatever reason, a lot of people miss that. And just to be clear, when you're setting out those standards, that's something that is variable from person to person, correct? As far as like good standards, when you start raising the bar?
In the class, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. In the classes, the standards are set. The standards are the same. They're universal, you know, no matter where we're doing them or who we're doing them for. Those standards don't change or deviate.
Right.
But at a personal level, yeah, absolutely. Your standards are going to be just that. They're going to be personal based off your skill set. And that's what we talk about in the classes is that some people are, if you follow the curriculum, if you listen to what we're saying, you're going to reach that objective. It's, and I kid about this a lot of times, but 70% of my job is fixing bad habits.
Yeah.
And then 30% is actually teaching. So it's hard to achieve the standards with only 30% teaching time.
Right.
So if we have somebody that's, you know, very open, takes the information on board, applies that information consistently, boom, that's a success.
There you go.
It's when we have to deal with all the other, the training scars, the bad habits, the ego, that really kind of makes it difficult.
Now, just, we got about 30 seconds left. You mentioned it briefly, but you bring up ego. Is that something that is hard to overcome for some people?
I think it actually is. You know, people have a perception of themselves, and the part of the reason is because they've never actually been evaluated, perhaps, at a level that is conducive to what they're trying to achieve. And so as a result, when they come into contact with us and they realize, oh, crap, I'm not as good as I thought I was, it can have a negative effect. I mean, sometimes those folks are they take it kind of personally, and they're not happy that we made them look bad or that they didn't look good.
Right.
And then there's the flip side of the coin, which is the guys that we really hunger for are the guys that just, they bring it. The next time we see them, they crush it.
Cool.
I mean, they literally, they step onto the range, and from the word go, they just crush it. And part of that is just because they recognized a failure, a weakness, something that they needed to work on. They did. They come back, and they, you know, they're able to step up and show it.
Awesome. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back. We'll be speaking with former Navy SEAL Jeff Gonzalez about what makes a good shooter and some ways that we can get there. But right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station.
Wealthy and wise, the Steve Perrin Coordinated Financial Planning Studios. This is 55KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station. Brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. Right now, we are talking with former Navy SEAL and owner of Trident Concepts, Jeff Gonzalez, about all sorts of cool stuff. And we are both nerds and Facebooking during the commercial breaks, which is just kind of sad. Jeff, are you still there?
I am. I was just laughing.
Yep. It's, well, you know, you got to have fun in life, so.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about, as far as ego and failure and how some people handle that well and how others don't. I guess what I'm curious about is, do you think the average shooter has a good, solid idea of what, not even they're capable of, but just what a good shooter is capable of?
Well, I think, I would say yes, because I think good shooter is kind of a pretty broad term, because you can definitely point to the competition world and see guys like Rob Lethem, and there clearly is a great shooter, so there is there's a benchmark, if you want, on that front.
Right.
The problem is, and we get into this a lot of times, is that, there's only one Rob Lethem. And, there's never going to be another Rob Lethem. There's just going to be him. So, it's how you make it in the world and what you do and how you set these standards that you want to try to achieve. And I think that's the key. I think that's kind of where we have, for us, what we've done is we have created a culture where our standards attract an even higher quality of students. So, they kind of have figured out what they need to be that good shooter, and they either recognize that they can't achieve it on their own, or they need help, or they are just kind of stumbling their way, or they want a fresh look.
Right.
And I think I'm very happy about that. We are pretty lucky in the sense that the guys that we get they've kind of already figured that out. They know, it's not a surprise for a lot of them, in other words.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, too, because you hear a lot of talk, and I've noticed this mainly on the interwebs, which we can keep our personal commentaries to whether or not that's a useful source of information. But there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about the type of people that go to, like your class or like Costa's class or any of the top level, but tactical trainers that
sure.
that are doing that stuff. And it's just, I think that if folks got away from that and really just understood that everyone goes to these things and learns, it would be handy for almost everybody. My question to you is, in your classes at least, what are the standards that you hold people to starting out? What's a good base level to reach before you start getting more advanced?
We get that question a lot, and because a lot of times people want to make sure that they meet the prerequisites. And we have three different levels of training classes. We have a level one, which is more of a basic, a level two, which is an intermediate, a level three, which is an advanced. And each of them, the standards are a little bit different. Obviously in the basic, we really don't expect anybody to come in with a set of standards, because that's, it's a basic program. We're expecting them to get it from us, in a sense.
Right.
At the intermediate level, I think that's where we really see the most questions being asked. And, we used to really be adamant about, okay, student needs to be able to achieve this. They have to be able to draw, clear the holster, and fire two rounds at 7 yards to, at 8-inch chest target. And we used to be very adamant about that, but what we found was it kind of started pushing us in the wrong direction, because what ends up happening is the student loses sight of all the inner components that go into achieving that particular requirement. So what we decided to do was we kind of stepped back and we just said, okay, as long as you have an understanding of safety, you understand marksmanship principles, and you're familiar with your weapon system, whether it be pistol or rifle, we'll take it from there.
Okay.
And we'll introduce you to what we want, or what we believe to be the standards that you should be striving for. It got really kind of convoluted, I think, and I think a lot of people misunderstood what we were trying to say when we started to, I think what ended up happening was that's all people were doing.
Yeah.
Is they just go out and they shoot the test.
Try and game the test to get up to
exactly,
it.
Exactly, exactly. And then then they come in and they find out, oh, crap, you mean I got to do all this other stuff?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. So I guess the point or the thing to sort of hit on and touch on is the fundamentals executed well are the important part?
I agree. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think what you're getting at that point is that, and we've defined them as basically core skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, we believe that, you can't really have a definitive test or like a drill that's going to give you a, hey, you just completed this drill to this standard, you're a killer commando.
Right.
So what we've chosen to do is that we've identified for the pistol there are 14 core skills, and for the rifle or carbine there are 16 core skills. And so what we've done is that we try to expose everybody to these core skills. The problem is we have 2-3 days to do that. And, you know, it's, I mean, when I'm working with my guys, I have, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 days.
Yeah.
So it gets kind of lost in the translation just due to the restricted time that we have to work with. So we choose in a level one class to expose the student to these core skills. Then as they move up to level two, there's some bleed over, and then they get new core skills. They move to level three, there's some bleed over, and then they get the last of the core skills. So by the time they cycle through everything, they've been exposed to all those core skills. And in theory, they should be a well-rounded shooter as long as they've met the standards along the way. You know, the reality is that not everybody does that. Everybody, you know, they don't want to start with level one. They want to go right to level three.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's fine. You know, we're open to that. You know, some guys can do that, and I think the majority of folks are better off. Maybe not starting off at the ground level at level one, but at least level two. And then, you know, we also discourage the ladder climbing that we see a lot of, which is, you know, the guys who just want to punch the ticket and go one, two, three, when they probably are better off kind of repeating level two a couple times before they actually look at level three.
Yeah, and that's funny that you touch on that, because I've been accused of being a training junkie, and I don't really feel that way, but hey, whatever. the thing, though, that I've run into is when you tell someone, oh, yeah, I'm taking this class again, and they look at you really, really strangely, and they're like, well, didn't you already take it? And it's like, yeah, but, you know, there's more to it than that. Do you think that attitude is not widespread enough as far as recognizing that maybe I didn't pick everything up and I should go back and touch on it? Or
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I have two students that are vying for kind of like the top dog, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one student that has been through a level two pistol class 7 times. And then I've got another student who's been through combined 7 classes, but some of them were rifle, some of them were pistol. So and I asked, I even, you know, the one guy that had all those pistol classes under his belt, I was like, hey, man, I appreciate you coming back. I love seeing you. You're doing awesome. You are definitely, you know, leading the pack here. You know, I think it's time for you to search out and find other directions to go. And, you know, what's interesting is I didn't have to tell him that because he kind of already knew that. But
yeah.
What was interesting was to hear his response, which is, well, I do. I will go and see other instructors. But what I like the most about the training program is that it's the same and the standards don't change.
Huh.
The integrity of the standards are not going to be compromised. So I can use this as a benchmark, as a litmus test to find out, okay, have I lost some of my skill sets? Did, you know, I haven't seen you for a year or I haven't seen you for like 6 months. You know, what did I do in that 6 months that either helped or hurt? And I was like, I never thought of that. That's a pretty good reason to continue to come back. You are welcome to come back, you know.
Yeah.
So it was interesting take on that I hadn't given much thought to.
Well, it seems like way back at the beginning of Ballistic Radio, I want to say episode 7 or 8, we had Todd Green on, who is the king of performance tracking. And it seems like, you know, when you talk about performance tracking, which is essentially what just got brought up, it's just like lifting weights. You know, people that are serious about the gym, they all write stuff down and all that, but you don't find that many shooters that do that.
Well, you know, we started out, we've been collecting metrics on shooters since we opened our doors. So for over 10 years, we've been collecting metrics on everything. In our level two class, there are a total of 7 data points that get collected on each shooter.
Okay.
And but the point that I, and the reason why I bring that up is because you're absolutely right. How are you to know? The analogy that you use as far as the gym is a great one, because I think they've really figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can. I use a lot of CrossFit in our programming as far as analogies are concerned, because, you know, CrossFit is a great example of metrics. You know, if your bread and butter is doing like a Fran and you're really fast, you've got like a sub-3-minute Fran, well, yeah, you're crushing it, you know, and you have a great way of seeing that. And if you do it enough times, you know, oh, man, I'm just not in it today. I did like a 4-minute. I don't know what the hell's going on with me. And, you know, and then there's the other days where you just all of a sudden you're a completely, you know, just a mutant that comes in there and wrecks it.
Yeah.
And the same thing, I think, can be applied. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we, like I said, we collect the metrics across the board. So, you know, part of this was to cover our ass because we would have, believe it or not, people, I mean, I've had some pretty heated discussions with administrators that were pissed that their personnel did not receive a certificate. And, you know, we stand by it, you know, when just like, hey, you know, your guy did great, but he just did not meet the standards to receive a passing grade and therefore a certificate.
Right, right. And, we're actually, I got to cut you off just real quick because we got to go to commercial. But when we get back,
sure.
We'll cover that some more. We're still going to be talking with former Navy SEAL and owner of Trident Concepts about training standards, failing those training standards and performance tracking now, apparently. So right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station.
Brian Thomas, Monday in the Morning Show. Of course, Monday Morning Spleen Vent. Dad will be teeing it up at 7:05. Let's find out what's under your skin together. Tune in. 55KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station. Brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. Right now we're talking with Jeff Gonzalez, former Navy SEAL and owner of Trident Concepts, about failing training standards, performance tracking, all sorts of stuff, and how that affects us. If you have any questions for Jeff, you can call us at 749-5500 or 1-800-823-8255 if you're listening on iHeartRadio. I'll try and take your calls at the end of the show, but I can already tell just looking at the outline it might be tough because we're not getting everything in that I wanted to. But let's get back to it. Jeff, are you still there?
I sure am.
Excellent. So we were talking about performance tracking and why that's important. I kind of want to go backwards a little bit and talk about failing standards or just failure in general and using that to motivate us. Do you think there's something to be said for that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I don't even know how I don't know how to build a product without failure being a part of that process. You know, and when I circled back in the community to as an instructor and had that different viewpoint, you know, I mean, it's just so incredibly important that the standards be there, but that failure is a part of our process. And if you're not pushing hard enough, you know, you probably will find that out through failures. And if you're not, I guess, if you haven't established a good kind of like path to follow, then you'll probably find that with regards to failure. So I think that they have to be incorporated in there. I get very, very upset when I hear about agencies, departments, or organizations that say they have standards, yet they don't fail anybody.
Right.
I'm like, huh, that's pretty impressive. You guys are just awesome. How are you able to do that?
Yeah, it's funny to me. Because I was just recently at Tom Givens Instructor's Development Course down in Memphis, and he said something that I found really intriguing was at the end of the class, he's like, you know, this is the first class in a while that no one's failed and not gotten their certificate. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of awesome and kind of frightening a little bit too in the same sense. But do you think that there's not enough instructors that are holding a high standard and enforcing it, or do they just not know how to be the bad guy?
Oh, you know, I think it's a combination of those two. I mean, there are certainly the kind of like a puppy mill, certificate mill.
Yeah.
There are several organizations. That's all. I mean, you know, you pay for your tuition, you pay for your certificate. You know, at the same
right.
time. I certainly don't agree with that. And we always remind folks that, you know, your registration did one thing and one thing only, which was to guarantee you a spot on the firing line. Your performance dictates whether or not you pass or fail. And then I do feel, you know, we had a joke and a moniker back in the Navy, which was a student's friend. And, you know, here we are, we're building, you know, the premier warfighters that the Navy has to offer, and what you never wanted to be associated with, what you never wanted to be called, what you absolutely disdained was being called student's friend. And, you know, that apparently has stuck with me because I still am not student's friend. That's what I hire my assistant instructors for,
is right.
to be nice and coddle the students. I, on the other hand, do not have that burden. So I think some people have a hard time doing that. But, you know, we have to remind ourselves what we're doing. I mean, we are preparing people for, you know, lethal confrontation, mortal combat. And the realities are, you know, I mean, consequences are real there.
Yeah.
You know, so I would rather them fail here in a training environment than fail out there on the battlefield.
And it seems to be something, too, that a lot of times, and I've run into this a little bit more lately, and I'm not quite sure why, people don't really understand what they're training for. Like you said, it's for the worst day of your life. If you're a civilian and you're not, you know, your job's not going out and shooting bad guys in the face, you're not lucky enough to get to do that for a living, it's probably a one-time event that's going to happen no matter whether or not you're armed, no matter whether or not you've practiced. And I don't know. The instructors,
if you train to a substandard, you're going to meet that substandard every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's always good. And I obviously don't have people on the show that do this because they're not worth talking to anyway. But it's always nice when I talk to everyone that I've had on, as far as they're very specific about that. Well, you need to know what you're doing and you need to practice to a high level. And everyone's high level is different, I guess. So,
of course, yeah, absolutely.
But I guess I'll sort of swing around in a little bit.
Sure.
As far as going back to the failure as a motivator and instructors that don't allow that to happen, you know, do you think that's something that in the training industry is being shifted away from, or is that still pretty prevalent?
I guess if you're asking if I see more instructors holding students to a standard, I mean, I know several that are good friends of mine, close friends, and I do know that they do hold their students to a set of standards. And I guess those are the group of guys that I typically hang around that I know that, you know, I enjoy going out for, you know, a steak and a drink with. I don't know about all the other folks out there. I don't know what kind of programs they're running. I don't know what they're doing, but I fear that, you know, that my concern is that they will establish these false sense of securities,
right,
in folks. And, you know, that's the last thing. You know, a student that comes through our doors becomes a part of our family. And, you know, we're very protective of that, and we want to make sure that we do the absolute best job, because the last thing we want is a family member to get hurt because we didn't do our job.
Right.
And I think that that's what separates a lot of the instructors out there. And, you know, like I said, there's a smaller group within the group, if you will, that understand that.
Yeah, yeah, and I've been very lucky lately to get to run into some of those guys and get a little bit better firsthand understanding of it. We're talking about standards. We've been talking about meeting them, and obviously, your class standards are going to be based off of what level someone's at and all sorts of different factors. But is there a good baseline thing that people should be able to do cold on demand that gives them an idea? Well, I might not be, you know, one of the top level shooters in the world, but I've got my act together. Is there something that you use at all?
I think that they're, I mean, for us, like, we run everybody through an assessment. And that's the first live fire thing that you'll do in any of our classes, is you'll go through an assessment. And that assessment gives us an idea. But it's also a great kind of like, it's a good litmus test. I mean, there's nothing fancy about it. It's a fairly simple. It's a 25-round drill that you shoot from 25 yards down to the 3-yard line with various courses of fire at the designated yard lines. But, you know, I feel like it does a pretty good job. I'm always leery of, and the reason why I like it so much is because it doesn't, you're not doing an El Presidente at the 7-yard line,
right,
or the 10-yard line, you know, and that's it. Because the thing that we always try to emphasize is that you're not going to know what type of gunfight you're going to get in.
Yeah.
You're not going to know if it's going to be at the 3-yard line, at the 25-yard line. You're not going to know if it's going to be against one assailant versus multiple assailants, if you're going to be able to use your strong hand only or both hands, if it's going to be night or day. You know, so there's a lot of unknowns going into all of that. And so the one thing I like about the assessment is that it kind of covers, you know, a fair amount of ground for us to get a pretty good understanding of where that shooter's skill level is. You know, And then we subcategorize it. You know, okay, the shooter does well at close range, which is typical, and then they kind of do poorly at the, you know, the greater distances and whatnot. And so we usually see that as kind of a trend, if you will.
Yeah, and that's actually exactly what happened to me when I was at my course and actually shot the class for record. I threw a double action shot at 25 yards, and I'd do almost anything to have that one back because it was only off by a little bit. But man, that little bit mattered as far as that goes.
Oh, you want to? Let me tell you. I will tell you right now. This is one of the things that upsets people so much in our classes, and I love it too because it just cracks me up. We have a very strict standard as far as how we grade, and we introduce people to that right off the bat. And people come in, and they are, and this is the culture that we're trying to deal with. This is what we are trying to do. If I can achieve success in this single concept, it will redefine the training landscape completely.
And I'm going to stop you right there, so everyone listens for the next segment, and you can say what that is. It's going to redefine everything completely. After the break, Jeff will be letting us in on the secret and the answer to that, as well as we've got a couple callers on the line. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station.
This is your exclusive home for Glenn Beck.
Oh, man.
Tomorrow at 9:06 on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station. Brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. We are still talking with Jeff Gonzalez, owner of Trident Concepts. He's got some magic answer that everyone is dying to hear, I am sure. I'm not going to get him back on the line quite yet, though, because if you want to call in and talk to us, 749-5500 or 1-800-823-8255. I've got Jake from Minnesota holding. I'm going to get your call. Everyone else, maybe, maybe not. So we'll see. Anyway, Jeff, are you there?
Yes.
Perfect. So what's the answer, Jeff? What's the one thing that would revolutionize everything?
Well, when we go up to the after they shoot the assessment, we go down and we show them how we score it. And we have a very simple target zone. It's a silhouette with a face, and you know, it's got a face zone and a chest zone, and we show them where those zones are. And we tell them very simply, a hit is defined as it being clean inside of the target zone. A miss is clearly outside or anything that cuts the line. If it cuts the line, it's a miss. And that pisses people off so much because they are so accustomed to, oh, it's, you know, and what's funny?
Yeah.
Is there are like running jokes as far as like the best excuse for why that line shot should count. And I have like a dozen of them, and they're all just ridiculous. But, you know, my rule of thumb is if I'm standing at the 3-yard line and I have to bend at the waist to look to see if it's close,
yeah, that doesn't count.
It's a miss.
See, the nice thing is the one that dropped me down from first place to fourth place in my class was a clean miss by at least 3-4 inches. I mean, just wouldn't have hit anything but dirt, which was annoying. Anyway, do you mind taking a call real quick, Jeff? We've had Jake Holden for a while now. I'll try and get him on. Let's see. We have Jake from Minnesota. Jake, are you there?
I am.
So, question for Jeff.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. Thanks for your military service. My question is about basic carbine shooting. I was wondering when you're shooting, you know, just basic prone position, kneeling position, whatever, how firmly you're gripping the rifle with each hand and what you're doing with your support hand, if you're actively pulling the rifle into your shoulder or if it's just kind of supporting it. And then I guess just if you have any other lesser-known tips for basic rifle shooting like that.
Well, I will do my best to answer that really quickly. First of all, you know, shooting is a form of combat, and combat's a very physical act. So we are very big on physicality, which means that when you're holding that rifle or holding that pistol, that you actually actively engage the supporting muscle groups that we have identified in that sense. So when you're holding that rifle, your grip on that rifle should be a powerful grip. You should be pulling that rifle into your shoulder pocket, so it should be a nice, positive, tense, you know, you should feel... You should be able to know when you have a good grip because you'll feel it in your upper shoulder chain and, you know, pretty much the all the way down into your trunk and core areas.
Okay, and that's the same regardless of if you're shooting at relatively close range versus, you know, a longer shot or a more precise shot?
It really doesn't matter. You know, again, for us, it's just so fast and furious. That's just how, that's you know, when the rifle gets thrown up in the shoulder pocket, that's exactly how it happens from the word go. There's no deviation between, oh, this is a close range shot, oh, this is a long range shot. It's just get it on.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome, Jake.
You have a good night. Thanks for calling in. So that was not too bad. And I didn't hang up on you, did I, Jeff?
No, you didn't.
Good. I always get nervous there. I'm curious. We'll kind of switch. And the equipment doesn't really matter if you don't know how to run it. But I know everyone really is interested in gear for some reason. I'm running SIG pistols right now and Knights Armament rifles. What are you using these days?
Well, our rifle, we have a rifle that is produced through LWRC. It's a Tricon Mark VI. It's a great rifle. I love that rifle. You know, LWRC obviously is a piston-driven rifle system, but you know, we work with them to make it even that much better. So I love that thing. As far as pistols are concerned, you know, obviously coming from the SEAL teams, our primary weapon system is a SIG, so I'm quite familiar with them. But my go-to pistol at this point is a Glock.
Yeah. 9mm, 40 caliber, 45, where do you fall on that little debate?
No, I do not fall into that debate whatsoever.
Oh,
it's pretty simple for me. You know, I've come kind of full circle to some extent. You know, when I left the Navy, I started working for an organization that was very keen on, you know, 1911s. So I, you know, drank the Kool-Aid for a little bit, and then I realized, damn, this just does not have the number of BBs that I want. You know, I need a lot more BBs here. And, you know, in the end, I hate to say it, but all those calibers, it doesn't matter. If you do your job, it's going to do it. You know, it'll do its job if you hit what you're aiming at. So at that point, if you eliminate ballistics, then you're just down to, you know, capacity. And for me, you know, the more BBs, the better.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, though, and I will say this. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I shoot such and such better and all that. I'm good friends with Spencer Keepers Concealment, and he is the only person I've met that actually shoots a 40 caliber Glock better than a 9mm Glock. I don't know why. He doesn't know why, but it does happen very rarely, it seems like. So, going back to, I guess, we'll do this. Do you have any upcoming projects or anything like that? You wrote a book back in, I want to say, 2002? excellent book that I actually posted a link to. Bravo Company's got it in stock right now.
Oh, awesome.
So anyone that's on the radio show's Facebook page, I'll throw that link up there again. Do you have anything else you're working on?
We have a boatload of things. This summer was, a summer from hell for me as far as projects were concerned. We have a lot. There are some that are going to be very happy because one of the biggest complaints that we got about the book was it wasn't available on Kindle format. So that's coming out. That should be out probably around October 1.
Perfect.
And then we have a special project that is it's a training program. That's, you know, it's basically a program that we devised that will be available for purchase also October 1. And still kind of keeping that close to the chest, but that will be coming out, and I think that is going to be very well received. I think already just the feedback that we're getting, people are very happy about it, because it ties into the whole theme of this segment, which is, you know, trying to, you would ask, hey, how do I know where I stand? How do I know how to train? How do I know where to go? And this new training program is going to certainly provide some of those answers for people, and, you know, it'll be available to anybody, basically. We have the Tricon rifle from LWRC. We do have a Tricon knife from Strider coming out that I'm very happy about.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Oh, I'm sure I'm missing something. I'll get some flack for, but those are probably the big projects that we got coming down the pipe.
Well, see, the nice thing is if you're the boss and you make a mistake, they can't really give you too much stuff for it.
That's true.
That's why I don't get yelled at too often anymore for my mistakes. It's kind of nice.
We razz him off the air, though.
Oh, well, I deserve it off the air. So, and I'm sure Sean will be in town. I'm having a beer with him later, probably, and I'm sure he'll make fun of me too. So, but so
keeping
I guess what was that?
I said keeping you in check.
Yeah, well, you know, he's good at that. I guess one more question, because we've got another minute and a half or so. You obviously are very, very busy running your own training company and all that. Do you get any time anymore to go and check out other instructors, or has that kind of fallen by the wayside?
You know, I mean, as far as, like, new instructors, probably not. I mean, but there's a core group of guys that I, you know, that I know well and that I stay in touch with, and that, you know, when we are in the same grid square, we usually get together and either for dinner or drinks, or if we can, you know, to the range. But, you know, it has been a difficult thing for me to try to get out. My pro dev has obviously taken a hit since the op tempo for our programs has just gotten kind of crazy. But I have forced myself to try and get at least one like, just step away and attend and try to fly under the radar, try not to make my presence known. And there are a couple guys that are really good at letting me do that. They just, you know, I sneak in.
Yeah.
Very low profile people, you know, I don't wear a name tag. I don't, you know, I don't really introduce or do the you know, who here's who I am. I just kind of walk in there and do my thing. And maybe by the end, somebody figures it out. But for the most part, I slip in.
Yeah. And that's got to be awesome. I'm getting very lucky as far as getting the opportunity to train with a lot of folks. So, but anyway, hey, Jeff, that was, like I said, the quickest hour in radio. I appreciate you coming on tonight, man. Great show. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. It was a lot of fun. I enjoy these types of opportunities for sure.
So, yeah, definitely. So thanks again. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. So next week we will be talking with attorney Mitchell Lake about use of force laws and how important it is to understand them. Make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe, and see you next Sunday at 7 p.m. right here on 55KRC, the talk station.